everybody, and welcome back to the Game of Thrones recap show here on Variety Radio Online. My name is Brancy, and I am joined again tonight by our co-host Jess. Jess, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. I was traveling this weekend, and I made it home really late, and thank goodness for the DVR, because I had to stay up late just to see this episode.
You know what? The DVR saved lives. It really does.
Yes,
because
they do.
You can't miss Game of Thrones, or the internet's going to spoil it for you. It's just true.
I know. And I knew I had to watch it last night, or else there would be no way I was going to be able to watch it once and then be able to do the show, because I always miss something. I always have to go back and see it a second time. So I'm actually playing it as we're going through, so hopefully it'll give me some reminders of things that were happening. But I knew that if I didn't get it through at least once yesterday, I was going to get spoiled by something today.
Yes. The internet is very evil like that. They do not let you escape unscathed.
Yes, that's true. So without further ado, let's just say if you're listening to this show and you haven't seen yesterday's episode, you should probably shut it off right now.
Right now. Yep. Click out.
Like right now. Yep. All right. If you're still here, that means you have given your consent for us to now talk about spoilers.
It's not our fault anymore.
Nope. We gave you plenty of opportunity. Shut it off. We're still giving you an opportunity. Okay. We are now going to go ahead with this. So this episode was called Oathbreaker. I was talking with a friend of mine, and it was funny because I was talking with her, and she was so excited to see it. She hasn't seen it yet. And she's like, Oathbreaker, it sounds like such a great title. You know, it sounds exciting. And I really got the wrong impression about what this was going to be about this episode, because as far as I know from the books, the Oathbreaker is actually Brienne of Tarth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But they changed it. So the Oathbreaker, we'll talk about it later, but the Oathbreaker is not Brienne of Tarth, or not who they were referring to in this episode. Brancy, which character do you want to start with?
Well, it's a little hard to say because some big things happened. And the thing about the show is that they do some scenes with one character, and then they'll bring the character up again later. So would you like to go for some of the smaller things that happened, or just go ahead and tackle some of the bigger things first?
I'm going to leave that one up to you.
Well, let's see. We could talk about Daenerys first, because we didn't see her last episode.
No, we haven't seen her for the last couple. Not really. I mean, we saw a couple things here and there. But, Daenerys. At first, when I started getting back into Game of Thrones, like I said, it's been a while since I read the books. It was a while since I saw the last season. I did not go back and refresh myself like a bad radio host I should have. But I got a little confused at the beginning when we saw her, and then she was back with the Dothraki. And for some reason, I was like, what are they doing in Meereen? But then I realized, of course, yes, in last season, the whole big thing was she rode off on the dragon, so obviously the dragons have taken her pretty far, and they've brought her back to the Dothraki lands. So they picked her up. And then last week, they basically said to her, or it was the week before, where they said, he was going to basically take her as a sex slave, and she reveals who she is. And they basically say, okay, she's untouchable. She was the wife of a Khal. She's the widow of a Khal. There is only one place for her to be, and that is at the temple with the other what do they call them? Dosh Khaleesi?
I think that's what it was. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't find what it exactly was called. But that
it's
sounds
basically
right.
The widows. It's all the widows. So they become like the high council, really. They're like the wise women. But they're untouchable. Once they've been married to a Khal, and the Khal has died, in essence, rather than like with the Egyptians burying their wives with the oh my gosh, Theros, instead of burying them alive, they keep them alive, but they basically put them in their own separate area. But then they're able to then decide what lands get invaded, what tribes can combine, what tribes need to be overthrown, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
These ladies are badass.
Yes, they are.
Have the same fire as Daenerys.
Yes.
And it's funny because they kind of take her down a peg. Like, you think you're the only one. We were all wives of great calls. We all thought that they were going to take over the world with us by their sides. And it didn't happen. And here we are. And, you know, you're young and you're going to get over yourself is basically what they're saying. If you're lucky, because they're pissed that she didn't come to them right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because she didn't do what she was supposed to do. She was supposed to go and be in that temple immediately after Khal Drogo died. And now she's going to be lucky if they even let her stay. At best, they'll let her stay. At worst, they could execute her.
Yeah. They even give her that little, like, low-key warning there. They're like, if you're even accepted in here, first of all.
Right.
Because you went out into the world, you're not supposed to.
Right. Yeah. And if they find out that she defiled herself, that's going to be a problem.
Yes. Yes, it will. Do you think it's going to be a problem soon, or do you think it's going to, like, take a little while? Or is she going to get out of it? That's the question.
Honestly, Daenerys is such a loved character. I know it's Game of Thrones, and I know it's George R. R. Martin, and I know that he always writes things that make us hate him. But at this point, the story is really taking off in part of HBO. They know how it's going to end, but I think he's giving them a pretty wide berth on how they're going to pursue this series. I don't know. But she's such a loved character. And HBO, I don't think they're not going to get rid of her. I don't think that fits within the overall arc of the story. So I think that they're going to keep her. I think that she's going to wind up becoming somehow getting out of it. If I looked at the coming attractions for next week, they're going to figure out where she is. Jordy already says where she is in the coming attractions for next week. He figures out, well, if she's in the land of Dothraki, she's going to be the only place they would bring her is here. So this is where she's going to be. Now, whether or not they're going to be able to save her, or if she's going to wind up saving herself, I have a feeling the dragon is going to come back.
I would love that. And I know many others would love that.
Yeah, I think they're going to push her, and she's going to annihilate them.
I would definitely be here for that, because we haven't seen a ton from her in the past few episodes, because they've had her pretty much kidnapped. They took her to God knows where.
Yeah.
Ready to see her kick some ass again.
Yep. So Daenerys, is she one of your favorites? Is Daenerys one of your favorites?
I mean, she's not one of my personal favorites, but I can see why she is other people's favorites. And I don't hate her or anything, but she's not, like, one of the ones that I would be, like, super pissed about if she died.
Yeah, I'm not ready for any of the main ones to die, any of the contenders to die yet. Daenerys, for a long time, was a favorite character of mine until she started getting a little too full of herself. She started to become too preachy. You know, I really loved when she came into her own, when she was with Khal Drogo, and she really started to basically take flight. And I really liked afterwards what she was doing in the first couple of battles. But then I think she really stopped listening to people, and she started making decisions not necessarily based in wisdom. I think that kind of part of Rhaegar is strong. She's strong with the Force, is all I have to say with that one. You
right.
know, she's not that far off from Rhaegar. She could very easily become the Mad Queen.
Yes.
Because she's so fiery, because she's a Targaryen. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just sometimes I think she gets a little full of herself and it's a little hard to take.
Right.
But she's a wonderful, strong character, and I really do hope they keep her. I'd like to see what happens going forward with that character, and I really do think that she's going to wind up giving them what for. But I do think that she's going to make it through whatever trials they put her through.
Right, I agree. I think she's too big of a major player in the overreaching plot of it all for them to get
right.
rid of her. So, you said, I used to be a bigger fan of her, I think, before in the earlier seasons. But I don't have a problem
yeah.
with her either.
No, I don't either. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Like I said, she's just a little over the top sometimes. And I think that sometimes she doesn't necessarily... That's the folly of hubris, though. I mean, that's a classic archetypal structure where, you know, you rise so fast because you have these good intentions, but then you become very full of yourself and you feel like you can't fail. Like there's, you know, that you have this divine righteousness behind you, and then you sort of get these blinders on. And hubris is always, you know, hubris is always the catalyst to a great fall. And I think this is her great fall. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of following that classic archetype of the hero, you know, and
right.
then the journey and that kind of thing. I'm getting a little deep here, but it's interesting to see. Do I think that she's going to be the winner of the Game of Thrones? I can't say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, but I can't say, because she is a very strong contender. And I
yes.
think I would be okay if she does win the Game of Thrones.
I would agree with that.
I have a feeling that she would be a lot wiser by that point in time, and I think that she could make an amazing Queen of Westeros.
Yes, I do think she could. I don't know if she
yeah.
will be the winner, because I think they're making
no.
it kind of obvious for her to be the winner, but would I have a
yeah.
problem with it? No, I would not.
Right. Okay, so you picked Daenerys. I'm going to pick Arya.
Okay,
because
yes.
Arya is still my favorite character.
I do love Arya.
Arya, in my opinion, Arya will never win the Game of Thrones. She will not be. She's not a contender.
Right.
But she's a badass in herself, in her own right. Still a little disappointed that they're not spending more time with Arya.
Yes, I agree.
This is such a juicy storyline. It's a juicy storyline in the books. I mean, they spent half of a book, I mean, various chapters to her, but almost half of a book with her plight and how the different lessons that she's learning. What I'm seeing is they're teaching her how to fight, but
mm-hmm.
they're not teaching her the lessons of how to be a good spy and how to be a good assassin. And I think that's where it's falling flat for me, is because they're just teaching her the fighting techniques and they're giving her these weird lessons, but you don't ever see her really grasping what he's teaching her.
Right.
I think they're trying, but it's not quite as well put together as in the books. And I'm sorry that I keep going back to the books, but there's so much meat and juice in that storyline that it's almost super disappointing to see that there's not more of it in the series.
Right.
They're doing a very good job, but
mm-hmm.
if you knew how much more there was, you would be very disappointed.
Right.
I
can see that, because I've started the books. I just haven't finished them is the thing.
Yeah.
But I, of course, hear things, and it's impossible to not hear things. But
right.
you know, I understand that they have, like, time constraints and everything, but even if you didn't read the books and you didn't know about the lessons that she is supposed to learn, even as just, like, a objective viewer of just the show, it would feel like they kind of just rushed through it a little bit to me, because she just immediately got her eyesight back in this episode. Okay. Like,
yeah.
That was pretty
Whereas,
quick.
I mean, they don't show any passage of time. They don't show her... And I don't want to give too much away, but they don't show her as Kat, because that's the whole point of the lessons that she's learning, is that every time he sends her out, or every time they send her out, she becomes a different person. She takes on a whole new personality. And that girl who keeps challenging her and says, "What's your name? And tell me your story." And she smacks her anytime she doesn't hear a truth, you know, or she didn't pull off a lie. Mm-hmm. That's why she's smacking her, because she's Arya keeps trying to lie to her and make it believable, and she's not getting it. She's not, mm-hmm. she's not fully embracing her personality. And so that's kind of why I'm upset, because you don't see Kat and you don't see the other characters that she winds up becoming. She fully becomes those personalities, and they're different. And she learns different things. She learns different skills. She's sent out to learn secrets, much like what Varys does with his little birds.
Yeah.
And she's supposed to report back these inane little things, anything that she hears. But that's the lesson, is teaching her how to listen, teaching mm-hmm. her how to pull out what the good information is and the meat of that situation. And then, again, with this blindness, she was blind for months. She was a beggar for months. She became a whole new person, and everybody knew her. I mean, right now they just show her as kind of like out there on her own. But in each one of the iterations of her personalities, she gets to know the community. They know her. They don't know her as Arya. They know her as those particular personalities. And that's important. She, right now, it just seems like she's out in the middle of nowhere and she's being punished as opposed to being taught, you know?
Right.
That's my take on it. I could be wrong. Everybody could hate me for my opinions, but having seen the full story, I really feel mm-hmm. like they're doing her a disservice.
Right. I do wish we would see more of her,
yeah.
the training bits. Everything that you're saying, I mean, I haven't gotten that far in the books, but everything that you're saying seems like something I would want to see on the show.
Right.
So, especially if, if she's such a fan favorite.
Yes. And all of the different near misses with people that she winds up almost talking to or even talking to, but she's playing a different personality and she doesn't they don't realize who she is. She doesn't realize who they are. And then you realize, oh, well, that's so-and-so. And if he would just say this one thing in front of her, then she would know that Jon Snow is still at Castle Black. And, you know, just those little things, you know, like, you're not getting to see any of that because she's not communicating with anybody except for Chicken Harkar and that other girl, the nameless girl. So it's kind of lost opportunities, I think.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Yeah.
For sure. Sure many others do, too.
So that's Arya. She got her sight back, which I thought was too easy.
I thought so, too.
I mean, she. I'll say one thing for Arya. She can take a beating.
Yeah.
You know, I think I mean, what they were trying to show there is basically like almost like a Karate Kid type of thing, where she was learning to listen and learning how to, almost like a daredevil type thing where, you know, she was using her other senses to hear and feel and anticipate where the other girl was going to attack her. And in the process, she kind of got the shit beaten out of her daily until she learned. And that's, I think that's when, at that point, when she wasn't able to beat Arya, or at least get her the way she was able to get her before, is when he finally gave her her eyes back.
Yes.
So, but there's no explanation for that. And that's where I'm like, okay, I don't see that recognition of, I learned my lesson. I know what you're teaching me. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. Okay. So I picked a character. You want to pick another one?
Okay, let's talk about Varys, because you kind of went there, mentioned him about his little birds. So I think that kind of nice transition.
Okay.
Some more of the little birds this time. I never really thought about it, that much. So is it talked about in the books at all?
No.
About where he gets his information from? Okay.
I don't recall. It's not made so much of a big deal of where he's getting his information. It's just he gets his information from many different places. And I don't think that the birds, the little birds, are all those children either.
Right.
Those aren't the only people that Varys is getting his information from. But I liked that jump to my little birds and then having it be children, because of course, who's going to think about children, especially in this time frame where basically children are seen and not heard. They're ignored because they're basically children. Nobody pays attention to them. People ignore them and they're talking about all the stuff. And so that's the perfect, of course, when you see that they're children, of course, that's where he's getting all his information from, because they're the least obvious.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of genius, you know? When they showed that. I didn't think about it, so.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
Yeah,
I found it really creepy that I don't know the maester's name. I'm going to just call him Frankenstein, because that's who he reminds me of, only medieval Frankenstein.
Right.
So medieval Maester Frankenstein creeps me out. He always did in the books as well. And it's funny to see – it's not funny. It's creepy to see that he figured out who the little birds were. And I really have no idea how he did that, because I don't recall there being another scene in which they show that. Do you?
No, I don't remember anything else about it.
Okay. But I also found it very unsettling that not only were the children, like, I, for some reason, because Maester Frankenstein, that's his name now, by the way.
Yes.
Because I'm never going to remember his real name. So Maester Frankenstein, in the beginning, before they pan out and that you see that Cersei and Jaime and Sir Gregor, are there, you see him giving the kids these candied dates or something like that.
Yeah,
and I just got this super uneasy feeling because he is not a good guy. Maester Frankenstein is definitely not a good guy. And there was that one moment when I was watching it where I was like, he's poisoning these children.
Yep.
And then they pulled back, and I was like, okay, they're going to live.
Yes, I had that horrifying thought as well. I would not put it past Game of Thrones after what happened with
right.
all the babies.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm still not putting it past him. I'm going to call it and say somebody's going to betray him. He's going to find out about it, and he's going to wind up killing one of those kids.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
If not
for sure.
A bunch of them, the same way. By poisoning their candies. I have a feeling that's going to happen, but I don't know for sure because I don't know that storyline. Okay.
Do you think
so,
we're going to be seeing more of
else?
Him?
Maester Frankenstein? Probably.
Yeah, like in a bigger role, do you think? Or just like the kind of role he's in now,
know.
Like kind of minor?
I think kind of a minor, like a minor supporting.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to play a major, major role. I know
yeah.
he plays the major role in regards to creating his Frankenstein, his monster, and that in and of itself eventually plays a major role. However, he himself, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Speaking of Cersei and Tommen.
Yes,
Tommen and the Sparrow, actually, is really what I want to talk about. And that conversation between the two of them. Tommen goes to see the Sparrow, Jonathan, the guy, the actor's name is Jonathan Pryce.
Yes.
Who really, it really creeps me out because Jonathan Pryce looks so much like Pope Francis. That
yes, he does.
I mean, they literally, he could play him in a movie. You know,
yeah.
They look so similar. And now he's playing this religious zealot. So it's almost kind of creepy in that aspect. But, and he's got such a kindly face, but you know he can be vicious. because you've seen what he's done. And you know he's somewhat mad himself, or a little bit zealous in his religion, which can be a very, very dangerous thing, as we know.
Right.
But the conversation between the two of them was so reasonable. It was such a reasonable conversation, and I turned in that scene because I knew that the Sparrow was a religious zealot, and he was not necessarily a nice guy, but in that conversation, you could see that his heart was in the right place, and he was coming from he was giving a very apologetic, it was a very apologetic conversation. And by apologetic, I mean, like, he was basically defending his perspective. And it was totally reasonable. And you could see how Tommen would fall for that. You know?
Right. Yeah, you did. Because he came in so strong. Like, he was just determined to get Margaery out and to stop whatever was going to happen to his mom. But then you could see it slowly kind of falling into it again.
Yeah. And he wasn't wrong. I mean, the things that he was saying was absolutely right. How do you experience the love, like, these gods, right? How do you experience the love of the mother god, right? You experience it through your mother, and you see that. And I thought that was also a really nice creepy nod to Mother's Day.
Right, I did notice that.
It was like, Happy Mother's Day from Game of Thrones.
Yes. It reminds me of Father's Day one year where it was like, it was Father's Day and it was the episode that Tyrion kills Tywin. It was like,
right?
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Kills him on the shitter. but yeah, I mean, it was like Happy Mother's Day from Game of Thrones. but he's absolutely right. You know, you do experience that unconditional love through your parents and specifically through your mother. And that's how you know what it's like. To experience that kind of love. And you could see it in Tommen's face that he understood what he was saying, and he was turning, you know, he was starting to see the Sparrow's point of view. So I think it's kind of up in the air at this point as to where his allegiance lies.
Right. It's going to be very interesting to see what else Tommen does with this.
Yeah. Well, he's not such a huge character. I mean, he's a character, but he's so much younger in the books, even at this period of time. But because they're filming this over a long period of time, they're giving him much more to do. He's still very young at this point. And in truth, when they have this whole situation where he marries Margaery, he's like 13 years old when he marries Margaery. And the whole point is that in the book, she is actually sleeping with somebody else. And she's never consummated the marriage with Tommen because he's too young.
Right,
and,
yeah. I did find that out about the books, that they have not.
Yeah. So they're giving him a little bit more. And that's cool because I always felt like that was kind of creepy between the two of them. They kind of made him older because of the way the year, you know, there is actual timelines. The kid is actually getting older.
Right.
Freakily so. And the casting is amazing because he looks so much like Joffrey, but a kinder version of Joffrey.
Yes, he does.
You know?
Mm-hmm. You can see the Lannister in him.
You can definitely see the Lannister in him. What did you think about that whole scene and about Tommen in general? Do you think that he has the potential to become a wise king and actually keep the throne? Or do you think it's pretty much written in stone at this point?
You know, I'm not too sure because, you know, even my mom was asking, she was like, why does he not have more authority than the Sparrows? And I'm like, well, I don't really think that it's a question of authority. It's a question of what he's going to do with it, because he just seems, he's the nicer version of Joffrey, sure, but he's almost too nice to want to take control and be king, so I don't know if he's going to be an effective king.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, but to your mom's point, it's not that he's the king and he does have more authority, but it's the point that the Sparrow has insinuated so many of his other people that they actually outnumber who they have in King's Landing to defend it.
Right.
So that was that scene last week between last week or the week before between Jaime and the Sparrow, where
Jaime
started to flex his muscles and the Sparrow put him in his place and saying, look, you think that you're going to win this and you're not, because we have people everywhere and we will take down the monarchy if we need to. It's almost like what the popes did in actual history, where the popes actually had more authority than the kings because there was that threat of religion. Whenever you put religion behind something, you have power.
Exactly. That's what I told her. I told her, you know, remember last week with Jaime, it's just, you know, religion can be really powerful, especially back then it was extremely powerful.
I mean, even now, I'm not going to get political, but you can see what it's like in today's world in many different religions, what happens when a theocracy rules or when a religion starts to take precedence over government or over a monarchy. It can be quite scary because once you have that religious zeal and people who believe in that divine righteousness, it's really hard to speak reason to them.
Mm-hmm.
And get them to back off because they think that they're right. And it's not that they're horrible people. It's just that they feel that they're right and their way is the right way. And if you don't agree with it, then you're wrong. So, yeah, it can be a very difficult, he's in a very precarious situation right now. The whole monarchy is right now because the Sparrows really do have a strong power. They're equals. And it's funny that you see that in the scene where they're speaking to each other as equals, you know, the Sparrow lets his guards go. And then Tommen lets his guards go because he knows that the Sparrow's not going to talk to him unless he does.
Right.
So it's very interesting. It was a very subtle plot shift there.
It was.
Yeah. Okay, so who else should we talk about? Varys. We started talking about Varys.
Yes.
He kind of got off. So Varys had more to do than with just the little birdies. Varys has, he's such a cool character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not a violent character in any way, shape, or form, but he's menacing, and he doesn't even need to be menacing while he's doing it. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's got that way of finding out what people want, almost like Littlefinger, who I can't stand. But he's got that same type of finding out what makes people tick and what they want and then giving it to them in trade for what he wants and what he needs and extracting the information that he needs. But he does it in a nonviolent way, but he still threatens, very much like Tyrion. I think that's why they're such good friends, because they have different ways of approaching things, but a very similar tactic. Tyrion's a little bit more brusque, but he's smart crazy like a fox, I would say. Both of them are.
Right. Definitely. I love Varys. He's one of my favorites. Just because of the way he does things.
Yes. Yes. And I like the fact that he calls people out. He doesn't just sit back and, you know, let it happen. It doesn't matter who it is. He'll make a comment to somebody. He's almost like the true version of a court jester.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could see him saying something to Cersei, and you have seen him say something to Cersei in regards to, you know, bringing attention to the fact that something's ironic. Or, you know, that she really doesn't have a leg to stand on kind of thing. Very good character. I really do like Varys.
Yes, me too.
All right, let's pick somebody else.
Let's see. Oh, well, he did actually give us some information about the Sons of the Harpy as well.
Yes.
We had a little tiny scene. Tyrion wasn't in this episode very much. Like, very, very briefly with that little awkward moment with Missandei and Grey Worm there.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So he finds out some very interesting information that it's not just the Sons of the Harpy, but it's Volantis, it's was it Bravos? No.
I don't think it was
Marine.
Bravos. Yeah.
No, it was the Sons of the Harpy, but they were being funded by Volantis and backed by the Masters at the first city that they took. I can't remember the name of the city. And then, so it's basically a trifecta. They're not just fighting one front. They're fighting everybody that she defeated is now coming back with a vengeance against her. They're all uniting against her. And it's
right.
almost like if she comes back, is she going to cut her losses or is she going to have to retake all of that land again? And Varys is basically saying that's not doable.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can get the dragons
real.
Back. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so what else do we want to talk about? There wasn't much with Sansa. I don't think there was anything
no.
with Sansa.
No, they didn't show her.
No. If we're forgetting something, feel free to contact us and let us know. We really would like your feedback on things you think we should talk more about. If you think we're just blowing hot air and you want us to shut up and talk about something more intelligent, feel free. Let us know. We're doing the show for you. So if you're not enjoying it, then we need to know because we want to make this as exciting for you as it is for us.
Right.
And so if we miss something and you think we should have talked about it, please feel free to let us know. And we will try and do a quick thing at the next episode recap that we do of anything we may have forgotten this episode. I think at this point we're up to the major thing that everybody wanted to see, which was Jon Snow, unless I'm wrong. Do you have a different opinion about that?
We have, like, one other smaller thing, and that was
okay
with Ramsay in the return of Rickon Stark.
Right. I forgot yeah. about that. Thank you, Ramsay.
Yes.
Yeah, we were just talking about not seeing Rickon and I think her name is Usha. Something similar to that.
I think it's Osha.
Osha, yeah. So Osha yeah. and Rickon. We were just talking about how we hadn't seen Rickon and how much he must have grown, and we wanted to see a little bit more with him, and it was like the gods heard us in this episode. Ramsay is meeting with one of the Lords of the North, and this guy is not backing down. He's not going to kneel to Ramsay. He's got his number, and he's talking to him like he's hot shit. And Ramsay, I think, is a little bit entertained by that because he really thinks that he's going to stick it to this guy. And then he basically comes up with, well, why should I help you if you're not going to give me your loyalty? And he feels like he's giving him enough rope to hang himself. And then this dude comes out with the bomb, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, brings these two. And as soon as he pulled the head things off of them, the sacks off of their heads,
yes.
I was like, oh no. Now this didn't happen in the book. So I have no idea what's going to happen.
Me either.
So what I found most disturbing about that scene, one, the kid is humongous now.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And two, they killed his wolf.
Oh my God. If they don't stop killing the wolves, I can't handle
right?
it. It's awful.
Right. I think the only one left at this point, Sansa's wolf is still alive.
No, Sansa's
but we haven't
dead.
Seen-
Because Cersei
right.
had her killed, but Arya,
right.
Arya got hers to run away.
Right. So Arya's wolf is still alive, and we haven't seen that wolf in a very long time.
Like season one.
I have a feeling. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think season one or season two. It does come into play in the last book where I think Bran and Rickon's wolves find Arya's wolf at some point, but they don't realize it. So I think the wolf is still alive, but I don't know in regards to this series. But I might be wrong. It's, like I said, it's been a while since I've read the books. I do know that the wolf is still alive in the series. I don't know for how long. And Bran and Rickon split up, and someone, one of their wolves, finds the other wolf. In either case, oh, we didn't talk about that either. So there's two more things, because there's the whole thing with Bran and seeing the story, but that ties into Jon Snow. So we'll leave that one to the next. We'll do that one next.
Yes.
So Rickon, what's going to happen with Rickon? Ramsay looks diabolically at Rickon at the end when he says, "Welcome home, Lord Stark." Is he going to feed him to the dogs? What is he going to do? Because he defected his brother. You know, like,
his own brother.
This is not going to end well.
No, no, it's not. Oh, God.
No.
It's going to be awful. And he even, like, makes this, like, a very sly comment about Sansa. Like, where he's like, "I prefer redheads." And I'm just like, that was, like, such a little thing. But he's, like, still digging that in. He's awful. Awful person.
He is an awful person. So what do you think is going to happen with Rickon? Is Rickon going to survive? Is Ramsay going to kill Rickon? Is Osha going to kill Ramsay?
I would love that last thing to happen. That would be the ideal outcome.
Fantastic. I have a feeling that Ramsay's going to try to mess with Osha, and Osha's going to give it to him bad.
Yeah.
But how far along is he going to get to Rickon? You know what I mean? Like, what's he going to do to Rickon before Osha gets to him?
Right. That's what I'm not sure about, because I feel like he can't kill him, at least not yet, because he's got to figure out a way to use him effectively. But what is he going to do with it is the question.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Rickon, but I like that they did bring him back again.
Yes. That was a surprise.
It was a little bit of a surprise, yeah. So we come to what actually happens in the beginning of the story, which is Bran's story. So they're focusing a little bit more on Bran. The fact that these kids are growing so fast just keeps getting to me.
Mm-hmm.
We start off with Bran, and it's obviously a memory that he's back with. He's with the Maester, the old man in the tree, and you see the old one watching them, that creature. Mm-hmm. And we see a flashback of Ned Stark when he's younger and he's trying to save Lyanna from the tower. and great casting.
Yes.
Fantastic casting. In regards to who plays Ned Stark as a younger man. And Bran's realization that not everything that his father tells him or told him was correct. Like, he just assumed that all of the stories that he told him were correct and were honest and were true to the way that they happened. And seeing what actually happened was very interesting. and then the fact that he called out his father's name, he called out father, and he turned around. And the old man says, "Well, yeah, he could have heard you, but he just could have heard the wind also." So we still don't know if Bran is actually able to go back and rewrite history, even though the old man in the tree says, "You can't. It's already set in stone. It's already happened."
Mm-hmm.
But that scene plays into something that I said last week that you and I agreed on, which was, what's going on with Lyanna?
Yes.
What's going on in the tower? Because that did not sound, that sounded like screams, but that did not sound like rape screams.
Nope, it did
that
not.
That sounded like childbirth screams.
That sounded like screams that will confirm things that people have been speculating.
So now I just need to go back and apologize for how my statement just came out before. I just realized after it came out of my mouth how weird that sounded in regards to not sounding like rape screams. There is a distinct difference between childbirth screams and somebody who is in physical or mental distress. So that is the only thing I meant by that. Please do not take offense.
Yes, please don't.
I was
no attacks, please.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a very distinct sound of childbirth, and that's what I meant, is that that sounded to me like childbirth.
It did to me as well. It was my first thought.
Yeah. So, I have a feeling that our assessment is correct and that all of the fans who have been saying R plus L equals J,
yes,
that I'm going to call it. I'm going to absolutely call it. I'm going to go with the fans on this and say R plus L equals J. I really, truly think that Rhaegar was in love with Lyanna, that, yes, he kidnapped her, but that she was a willing participant, somewhat, and that is her child, that John is her child, which is why Ned never said anything to his wife, and why he has said, one day I'll tell you about your mother.
I can completely agree. I am 100% on the R plus L equals J story theory. I don't know if they're going to, like, start just giving us little bits along and along like they seem to be doing with these
flashback
things. That's probably what it's going to be. I think to give, like, some of the casual viewers who, like, haven't read the books and who just watched the show kind of building up to it, I think. So they're not like, what? That came out of nowhere.
Right. I think that we're going to learn it, but we're going to learn it through Bran's eyes.
Yes.
We're going to actually see that this is true. That's how I think they're going to reveal it. It's not going to be somebody telling John. We're going to see it through Bran. And I think that's one of the reasons why Bran is there, why the Three-Eyed Crow has called him to the man in the tree and to the old ones, and the purpose of why he's crippled and why he's developing all of these extrasensory powers is because he needs to actually observe it for himself, and then he needs to be the witness. I think Bran is going to be a keystone in revealing this information at the very end. And
right.
And that's just my theory. I mean, I'm getting excited about it. I have a theory. I'm going to go with it until there's something else that presents itself. That's my feeling. But I will say, I totally called it last week that technically Jon Snow died and his watch
yes.
ended. He is free to walk away from the Night's Watch. And I think that I thought that he was going to walk away. I still think that he's R plus L equals J. I think he's going to win the Game of Thrones.
That's what it seems to all be adding up to.
Yeah. He's technically the rightful heir to the throne if he is Rhaegar Targaryen's son.
Yes, that would make him. It's hard to, like, explain, because my dad always asks, he's like, well, who's the true heir? And I'm like, well, you kind of have to think about it. Like, if that theory is true, then it's Jon.
Yeah. Because we know that Tommen is not the rightful heir of Robert Baratheon. Really, the true heir of Robert Baratheon would be the blacksmith apprentice.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. Arya's friend.
Gendry,
I believe. Gendry, yes. Before, when I was reading the books and I was watching the series, I thought that Gendry and Arya were going to wind up hooking up and that they were going to wind up inheriting the Game of Thrones. But that was way early in greeting in the series. And now I really think that technically Daenerys would be, if Jon didn't exist and he was not a Targaryen, Daenerys technically would be the rightful queen. So that's why she's coming from this divine righteousness position, because she technically is the true heir of the throne, because technically Robert Baratheon was a usurper, and he has no rightful heir. If Gendry is gone, then she would be. There is no rightful heir other than a Targaryen. So she would be as the sister of Rhaegar. However, Jon trumps her if he's a direct heir. So
that's true.
So, is Jon really Jon? He seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost doesn't seem to see anything different. His friends don't seem to see anything different, other than the fact that some of his friends think that he's a god now because he's come back to life. That's really, like, how do you reconcile yourself with that? Imagine yourself as a Knight of the Watch, and your friend Jon has been stabbed multiple times and has been dead for at least, I'm going to say, let's go biblical with this, for at least 3 days.
Right.
Okay? Because it's been days since he's been dead. And there's no doubt about it that this man was dead. You've seen him yourself. He's dead. Dead is dead. And then all of a sudden, he's not dead. And he's not a White Walker. How do you reconcile yourself with that? How do you even, like, what do you say to that?
I don't know what I would say to that, but it's got to be, you know, I don't blame them thinking he could be a god.
Right?
We know it wasn't actually, like, him that did it, but that's a perfectly reasonable first assumption.
Right.
To not know what happened.
Also, Melisandre's face when she realized that it actually worked was priceless.
It was great.
Priceless. So it's interesting that Jon didn't even have to ask what happened. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as he saw the wounds, he remembered what happened. Sir Davos asks him, you know, do you remember? And he does. So there's no, well, I don't know what happened, and the good guys, you know, the bad guys are going to get away. We don't know who the guys are. He remembers who stabbed him, you know, in what order, what happened. They're not getting away with it. And then the satisfaction of seeing them all lined up and ready to take their punishment.
Oh, yeah.
And the only one that kind of got me a little tear-jerky, too, because Jon really, I don't think he really understands why Ollie turned on him. And that was like such a betrayal, especially from such a young person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that gets him is
right.
Ollie. And I kind of got a little choked up about that too. But it had to be done because you could see in that kid's face, he was gone. There was no winning him back.
No, there's definitely no coming back from that.
So what do you think is going to happen with that? I mean, he just basically turns to his friend and he gives him the cloak and he says, the guy says, well, what do you want me to do with it? And he says, wear it. I'm done, basically.
Mm-hmm.
My watch has ended. You know, you have Castle Black. And he walks off. But Sansa's going up to Castle Black to see Jon.
Oh, my God. I know. I said that exact thing to somebody. As the episode was happening, I texted her. I was like, okay, but that's exactly where she's coming, so what's going to go on here? The Starks are always just missing each other.
Right. I feel so bad for Sansa and for Arya, who just keep missing their family members by, like, moments, miles between them, and then all of a sudden everything goes bad. So I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe he'll run into her coming south of the wall as she's going north.
One can hope.
It depends on which way he goes. Because he could go back to the wildlings.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that he will. But Mance Rayder and him are not fighting. They're friends now. So he could go back with the wildlings.
He could.
I don't know. What do you think is going to happen?
I'm not really sure, because it almost seems like he's not sure. He just knows that he doesn't want to be there anymore.
Right.
But I'm not sure where he's going to go.
Right. So, we're pretty much done with talking about this episode, but I did want to say inspired writing in regards to Sir Davos and John's conversation, where John was like, I tried my best and I failed. And Davos says to him, good, now go fail again, which is like the quintessential of, well, pick your ass up, get back on the horse, and get out there and do something again. Don't be afraid to fail. What do you got to lose? Like, you got this whole second chance. You know, good. Go fail again. Go do something worth doing. You know?
Right.
It was good.
I did like that.
It kind of reminded me of, like, Thomas Edison saying, you know, like, when somebody asked him, I don't know, this is kind of just like an urban legend, this conversation where somebody asked him, you know, you failed 99 times or so many times trying to make the light bulb. And he said, well, I just found 99 ways not to do something.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of similar. It reminded me a little bit of that, like, okay, good, now go fail again.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep trying until you get it right.
Right. And it also made me think about, I forget who said it, but I know it was last season, and I forget even who they were talking to, but it was the quote, kill the boy so the man can be born, or something like that. And I know people have been putting that out there with what happened with John, and I was like, it just made me think of that when Davos said that.
Yes, very true. That's a very good point. I absolutely agree with that. You know, every time somebody goes through something horrific and they come out of it, it helps to shape their characters. And really, what's the most traumatic that could happen besides death?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know that John's going to come back. But I still have this little inkling that, like, there's definitely something else going on with him. There's got to be a reason why he was sent back. And
right.
Melisandre's right. You know, there's a reason for that. And she even makes mention that Stannis wasn't the prince of my lord's prince, but somebody has to be, because I saw it in the fire.
Right.
And he was brought back, which also further confirms to me, solidifies in my mind, that he is actually the rightful heir of the Iron Throne.
I think so, too.
I don't know. What do you guys think? You let us know, because we're just talking to each other, and we agree. So, do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you disagree? Do you agree, but you have something further that you want to add? Do you totally think that we're 100% wrong, and that, I don't know, Sansa's going to take the throne? Let us know. What's the best way they can get in contact with us, Brancy?
I would say probably either through Facebook or Twitter. Facebook would be Variety Radio Online, and then Twitter is at the VRO.
Right. If you like this episode, we are broadcasting. We will have this episode up on Variety Radio on the VRO.com, which is our website. You can also find it on iTunes and on Audioboom. Please, if you like it, if you know somebody else who watches Game of Thrones, feel free to share the link with them. The more people that listen to us, the more feedback that we get, we know we're on the right track. The more people who listen to us, the more likelihood we will be able to actually get the actors on in interviews and take questions from the fans. So please, if you like the show, if you want to hear interviews from the HBO cast, of Game of Thrones, please share. Make sure you give us credit. Make sure you're sharing the original source so we can show them that we have the listeners, that people want to hear from the actors, and you know, that puts us in a better position to give you the content that you want.
Right.
That's my soapbox. I'm getting down from it now.
No, yes, by all means, definitely. If you're listening and you like what we do here, if you like the show, please, I mean, just share it. What harm's it gonna do, guys? You love the show, obviously. You know somebody out there who watches the show, and even if you don't, just share it anyways. Because that's the way that we're able to continue doing more things like this and even expanding content. So if you enjoy these, if you have thoughts, please by all means share them. Just get the word out. Listen to the shows, share them with others, and then just tell us what you're thinking, and we will just go from there.
Okay, well, we will be back, same bat channel, same bat time next week, hopefully. Do we know what the next episode's called yet?
Let me see. I believe I have it up right here.
I think we're going to see more about Theon next week, which I'm interested in seeing. Theon and his sister.
Yes, we did see that in the preview. It is called Book of the Stranger.
That sounds intriguing.
It does.
Maybe Arya will get a bigger storyline.
Would like that.
It's either the Book of the Stranger could be the uncle that showed up at Pyke, or it could be a reference to one of the Pyke gods, or it could be maybe Jaqen H'ghar's, the Nameless Assassin book. Could be almost anything.
Yes, it could be.
Very,
But
very intriguing. Wah-ha-ha. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yes, we will see you guys next week, and thank you all for listening. And as we said, please feel free to share your thoughts and share the show with anybody. And you can find us on social media. We're pretty much everywhere. Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram are all Variety Radio
Instagram.
Online. Yes, please Instagram. And also at the VRO on Twitter. And then just the home site at thevro.com. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you guys next week to talk more Game of Thrones. And until then, please share the show and share your thoughts with us, and enjoy next week's episode. And goodbye, guys.
Bye.